The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Go.
Delighted you are here, keeping you informed about what's going on here in Southwest Oregon, Northern California, too, for that matter. And for that, Captain William E. Simpson, naturalist, Wild Horse Fire Brigade aficionado, is back, and he's been keeping an eye on the Klamath Dam removal process. And I love how every time I see the gentleman from KRRC on the news, Captain Bill, and everything, well, we expected this problem. We expected to kill the fish. We expected to have everything die. But remember, we're restoring. You have to look out to the long term. Well, the people who actually live on the Klamath and in the community, they're not buying it, are they? They ended up getting together with the Board of Supervisors yesterday morning. What do you say, sir?
Good morning, Bill. Yeah, there was a lot of people that showed up down at the courthouse. And so there was a peaceful protest out front, and quite a few people did show up, even though it was a work day. That's one of the problems with, exercising your civic duty, is that a lot of people have jobs. And I guess that's the problem, because the hardworking conservative people that pay taxes and do what they ought to be doing, they're working, and you know, it's hard in the current economy to take a day off to show up down there. And so, but there was quite a turnout. And
didn't you say it was standing room only, is what you were telling me?
Yeah, there was standing room only. Well, there was people seated, of course, but mm-hmm. There was people standing around the edges of the walls and outside the door in the hallway. And so it was, I think it was a really good dialogue with the board. I think the board realizes that the citizens are being put into a very unfair position by the imposition that's forced upon this whole community. And, you know, by these elitists that just show up out of nowhere, they're not interested in the American Republic and the process that we have here. It's about these elitists. It's like a fiefdom. They got together with the fiefdom, the head of the FERC, and the people there, and influenced them apparently to come up with this whole program where they can circumvent the congressional act, you know, the Klamath Basin Compact Act, with just a couple of governors and FERC, you know, stepping in and saying, okay, and it's amazing. Some of the things FERC said in their orders just are shocking. And
what's an example of that FERC mentioned in their order? This is interesting. Love to hear that.
Right. So in one of the final orders that allowed the transfer of the license to KRRC, which, you know, when you look at KRRC, they're a shell corporation. I mean, FERC says they're not, but hey, you know, all the BS alarms go off on that one. They've never been around. They're, you know, a three-year-old corporation formed in a New York office, incorporated in Berkeley, California. They throw a few people on the board. They've never made anything, managed anything, done anything. And they get an allowance. I guess they've been getting like, I don't know, $30 million a month or something. I heard a rumor. our good friend, Mark Bransom, he's getting paid, I understand, in the realm of $400,000 a year for the past three years to head up this, you know, as you call it, the excrement show. FERC basically took it upon themselves to say, okay, we don't think they're a shell corporation. And, oh, by the way, if the transfer of license occurs, which it did, that Oregon and California will pay for all the costs above and beyond the $250 million that Pacific Corp put in.
Oh, yeah. It was hung on all of this has been hung on to the tax, around the taxpayers' necks, like an albatross, yeah, to clean up. And to say that FERC actually thought that the KRRC was like a legitimate business operation. They'd never removed any dams before. They had no experience in any of this. This was a put-together kind of group. And the only money it has is the money that was transferred from Pacific Power in order to accomplish this. And then once they run out.
Yeah, Bill, if KRRC, Klamath River Renewal Corporation, had even run a 7-Eleven, that would be more experience than they have. Okay,
uh-huh.
They haven't done anything. And other than hire contractors, who, by the way, none of which have ever done this before themselves. And so, you know, that's why there's so many mistakes and so many, you know, every time they make a mistake and there's some unintended or disastrous result, like killing everything in the river. We expected that. No, that doesn't get you off the hook. And so the board of supervisors, they're seeing this, and they're seeing that, you know, we're being run over. You know, FERC didn't have the authority to take over what is the normal process in Oregon and California for have voters to decide how they will spend their taxes. FERC did not get to just open up our checkbook and say, okay, you guys, you know, and by the way, people need to understand this is going to be at least $1 billion, okay, to remove.
Now, who's estimating that this is going to be $1 billion to remove these dams and recover it all?
I can't put my finger on any particular person. The original bill that was established 12 years ago, I think it was, the cost estimates to do this 12 years ago was $450 million.
Now, was that with dredging and removing the sediment in those days, that original cost estimate?
No, it was not.
Oh, that was not?
That was on top of it.
Okay.
No, it was on top of it, you know, because see, when you look at, as far as I understand the math on this, Civic Corp collected from ratepayers over the years, I think they collected almost $450 million. And of course, they banked that money and know how to, you know, they're making money. And then I guess when they were getting quotes on how to do this, you know, they had collected $450 million. The way I understand it is the people that came in and looked said, look, you got to dredge the sediments. And they said, how much is that? $400 million. They said, you know, they said, well, that's a non-starter.
Yeah, it's too much money. Yeah.
Million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's $50 million left, you know, subtraction. So, and that was a long, long time ago. That was over a decade ago. Since then, a lot of things have happened. Things have gotten way more expensive. And then on top of that, we're seeing one disaster after another up here. So when Mark Bransom stood up in front of the meeting and the board up at COPCO, you know, we had a board meeting up there on the 12th. And he stood up and he said, well, you know, we let 5 million or 5 to 7 million metric yards of sediment go down the river out of 17 to 20 million. So there's, you know, anywhere between 30, according to his math, which, is, you know, they've been a lot of flaws in their math.
So you question that math? How much do you really think is left, or how has anyone put a,
well, according
put a spreadsheet to this?
According to him, there's 13 to 15 million metric yards left of sediment. Now, empirically speaking, we don't need to go down any rabbit holes on toxins or anything. Empirically speaking, they let 5 to 7 million down the river, 5 to 7 million metric yards down the river.
And killed everything. And killed everything.
Killed everything.
Yeah.
Now, there's three times that much left based on his math. Now, when that goes down the river, which it will, I mean, you can put seeds on that sediment all you want, but we know this is a canyon up here that we built these dams into. And when it floods, it's going to wash all that crap down the river. And let's say it happens in 4 or 5 years after we've spent millions and millions of dollars restoring it. And maybe even by then, you know, and it's a bit of a failure, it's a fairy tale, but maybe by then you have some fish actually coming back into the river. But all of a sudden, here comes the sediment one more time and kills it all again. And then you've got to start from zero, you know, and only this time you have three times as much polluted sediment on the banks and in the riverbed. I mean, that's exactly the scenario that, like, Dr. Paul Hauser saw and other people, they said, you've got to remove the sediment because it is a ticking time bomb.
And that hasn't changed. The sediment remaining will be a ticking time bomb. Does the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors believe that, or have they expressed any opinion on it? You were at the meeting yesterday.
Well, they haven't expressed any opinions on it because it was comments only. It wasn't a back-and-forth dialogue. Now, we will be having a meeting on the dams on the 26th of this month, and everybody's going to be there again, and including Mark Bransom. And so we're going to give him We will present him with his River of Death 2024 award. It's the first annual River of Death award.
Oh, really? Because here it is. I'm over on CaliforniaGlobe.com. You know, that article that you sent me that has been written, and I'm looking at this River of Death Award 2024 with the skull in the middle of a river canyon, right? That's a real award that he's going to get? Really?
Yeah, we made one, and he will be getting it if he's there, or, you know, his representative can receive the Oscar, as it were.
Oh, man, that's going to be a media event to see that. Hey, here's your River of Death Award. Congratulations. Oh, thank you. I couldn't have done it without all my contractors. All right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, so, you know, the problem here is that's just the beginning. The ticking time bomb also, when it gets dried out this summer, will put dust into the air. Now, when you look at what happened at the Condon Dam, they have big dust storms. NBC covered all these big dust storms that come off the lake bottom up there. And, you know, and it just ruined the community. It's in people's homes. It's in their noses. It's in their mouths. It's in their gardens. So when we look at all of the potential damage and what's happening here, you know, we have to put our foot down right now, because there are some things we can do to make this better. Now, yesterday when I was, NBC spent 2 hours with me, came up from Southern California and a couple hours talking about the dams with me. And we were interviewing right over by Jenny Creek, where they're out there, the excavators are just dumping crap into the river as fast as they can. Because I guess they have to be out of the riverbeds by the 15th is what I heard. Their permit expires to pollute the river or something. I don't know what. But we were there interviewing, and during the interview, there was a man standing very close to the cameraman and me talking. And during the interview with the reporter, and it was a little bit unnerving at first. You know, this guy was dressed just like one of the workers. He had a reflective vest, one of the hard hats, and so forth. And then after we concluded the interview, he stepped a little closer and intervened, and he said, you know, he says, I agree with everything you just said. And I'm talking about the polluted sediments that they got to be removed and taken to the desert. And we asked, well, who are you? Well, it turns out that he is a representative from the Klamath tribe. He's a cultural observer to make sure that, you know, no cultural remains are misplaced or abused or whatever.
Oh, yeah. If you end up coming upon a native grave or something like that, right? Yeah, you have to be very careful with that. Sure.
Yeah. So he is a Klamath Indian. An indigenous American, and he was listening to the whole thing, and he told the producer that was there, he says, I agree with what Bill said, that sediment's got to go. And we asked him if he'd like to go on camera and say that. I said, well, it's really politically charged, you know, but I want you to know I agree with that. He says, that sediment, he says, everything you said, it's going to keep going down the river, it's going to keep killing the river. We can't allow that to happen.
It'll continue, and even later in later years, it'll continue to do it slowly. Okay, And the point being, though, is that what you're talking about, I don't think, is a radical claim. It's a common sense situation that anybody who was not KRRC that was doing to the Klamath River what KRRC is doing with these dam removals would have been brought up on charges long ago. You would be considered an environmental criminal, but because there's some consensus and we all agree that these dams need to come out and this will eventually restore it, there's been a real pass given. And you had the governors colluding in on this and then hanging the total restoration costs, onto the taxpayers of California and Oregon. It is, it's like... This is one of the stinkiest backroom deals I think it's ever been done in California, Oregon history in recent memory.
Remember the Boston Tea Party. No taxation without representation. You know, you don't get to sign up our citizens, Oregon and California taxpayers, without asking them first. So they had to go to the legislation and say, look, do you guys want to be on the hook for $1 billion in direct costs? And I mean direct. And then, oh, by the way, the $1 billion in liability, because, hey, guess what? On the 20th, a bunch of lawyers are involved now, and they're teeing up to launch some class action litigation against this whole thing. And the thing for, that Mark Bransom and his clan have got to look forward to is if they can prove malfeasance and gross negligence, they'll pierce the corporate veil, and their personal assets will be at risk.
Very interesting. Bill, we appreciate the report here. And so the natives have certainly gotten restless, and were they getting pretty contentious? What was the tone at the meeting, though, as people were commenting to the Board of Supervisors in Siskiyou County?
There was a lot, you know, people were very nervous, and there was a lot of tension in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think the board realized that these people, their lives have been ruined. I mean, ruined. And the board, I think the board understand that. It's kind of hard when you live, you know, like one of our supervisors lives, I think, in Shasta. You know, he's nowhere near this thing. He's just kind of like sitting there just, you know, occupying a chair.
Yeah, whatever, you know? Right? And, it kind of whatever. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm in Shasta. Yeah.
Right. But then we've got, you know, like Ray Haupt's really concerned about this. He's been up here. He sees the pain in people's eyes. He sees little old ladies and old men crying because their life's dream has been crushed.
Let me ask you, I'm not surprised about that at all. I do not know the Siskiyou County government structure here, and I'm wondering if you could explain this, Captain Simpson. Does California, Siskiyou County, do they have districts? Are they districts?
Yeah, Siskiyou County has five districts and five district supervisors.
I thought so. And this is the reason I brought this up. The problem with districts, and this is the problem I brought up with the Democratic Party trying to get these charter changes in both to Jackson and Josephine County, is that you go from three county commissioners who are focused on the entire county, the county as a whole, not just someone's district. And then you have what you have in Siskiyou County, in which five commissioners, but you have some of them that don't care about this because they represent a different district, right? And so you look at the damage that can be done when you have a system that doesn't have at-large county commissioners. See what I'm getting at here? They're trying to change it up here. You know, in which you have if you have three, or even if you had five, but let's just go, if you had three and they're at-large, that means that they have to care about everyone, not just a specific geographic part of the county. That's what I was getting at here. Interesting.
Right, yeah. So I think the most important takeaway here, Bill, is this isn't a done deal. Everybody says nothing to see, move on. It's a done deal. It's over. It's
right.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a very important point I want to make to the audience and listeners. It's not over yet. We have a chance to do it right now. We have a chance to do this right, which means we're not going to let KRRC off the hook and the contractors.
And so this means putting pressure on the board then. The board would have to do this, right?
We need to put pressure to make them remove the sediment. They need to remove the sediment. We empirically know that when they let 5 million metric yards down and killed the whole river, we have at least three times that much up here sitting here, and planting's not going to stop it. If we get a flood, it's going to take all that crap down the river, kill the whole river again.
And then not to mention the challenge with dust in the summertime and everything
else.
Yeah.
So the key is it's not over. We have a chance, and this is what this Klamath indigenous person was saying. It's correct. We have a chance to do it right if we do it right now. They're here. The equipment's here. Let's get it done right. Let's not just take the cheap way out and then polish and then, you know, put lipstick on this turd. You know, KRRC is going to say, look, we did a wonderful job. We restored the river. Yeah, right. And then move on to the next dam destruction job. Okay? No, that's not what's going to happen here. We need to have full court press, remove all this sediment, do it right, so that we can actually say that we made a best effort to actually restore the river now that the dams are out. I mean, and that's the other thing. You know, they're blowing up these concrete dams, this big concrete dam up there, Copco 1, right? Huge concrete dam. They're blowing it up, and all this dust, which some people say has asbestos in it, is going over the whole community. The dust from these explosions is being blown onto people's homes, in their homes. I mean, it's just like, really? Really?
Yeah, it sucks to be a resident nearby the river, which is never supposed to be that way. Captain Bill, final question I had for you before, and I'll certainly link to your article that you have on CaliforniaGlobe.com. And also, Siskiyou.news has been very big on covering what you have been bringing forth here.
And Google AI, by the way, has been censoring us. You know, shame on Google. You know, they've been censoring Siskiyou News. If you Google Klamath Dams, they must have made a deal with Google because it's just all this hokum comes up, all this propaganda.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also wonderful, you know, flowers and roses and blah, blah, blah. They do not tell the truth at all. They do not show the conditions on the river.
Yeah, are you going to believe the KRRC propagandists or your lying eyes? That's essentially what's going on here with this dam removal process, isn't it?
Yeah, they've influenced our media. Our media is crooked. It's crooked. This has to get fixed. See, you should allow freedom of the press, not have the, you know, the basically this is like communist Russia, for crying out loud.
Well, we have to direct people to the right place since you're being censored right now. Appreciate the report. Yeah. But the other thing I was going to ask you, though, before you take off, and that is, has an environmental impact statement been done, or was it done originally when they were talking about dredging and removing the sediment? Would there be an approval to move that sediment someplace, whether it's in Nevada or eastern Oregon in a desert someplace where it would be not a problem for the aquifer and such? Or is that something that would be started all over again? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that question. I think what I heard, and this is a rumor, is they were planning on trying to take it to the Nevada desert because it wouldn't be near a watershed.
Right.
Yeah, but and there are toxins in there. You know, the CDM Smith report that was done back in 2009 through 11 talks about different toxins. You know, not just your heavy metals, but organic toxins and like, you know, dioxin and things like that, DDT, and the indication that stuff is still there in the sediments that went downriver is we're seeing yellow catfish. Well, yellow catfish. When you see a catfish with yellow, it turns yellow. That means their liver failed. It's jaundice.
Oh,
and you, okay, catfish, they don't turn yellow because of low dissolved oxygen. They don't turn yellow because of turbidity. They turn yellow because their liver died. They got jaundice, and that's the same thing that can affect people. So, you know, and that's the thing about the wells. You know, so we did ask. It was very plain and present to the county that we would really, really appreciate the county declaring an emergency declaration so that we can put this on Gavin Newsom's desk and say, look, you know, we need you to bring the EPA out here, because the EPA is staying away from this. Like, it's, you know, they won't touch this thing with a 20-foot pole, because then they're going to have to do their job. When they do their job, people may not like what they hear.
Well, the other aspect about this is that many people that are part of the EPA are probably in favor of dam removal agendas. They're those, you know, the entire system is controlled by the destructionists, the dam destructionist types, generally speaking, at Fed level. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, everybody's looking now. So they're going to have to do honest science. There's enough smart people that are watching. Everybody gets it. It's really funny, too. Speaking of watching, when we pulled up with NBC News at Jenny Creek, the supervisors looked over, saw us getting out the cameras and everything, and they got on the radio, and it was just perfect synchronicity. Perfect synchronicity. 20 operators suddenly stopped. All their equipment stopped. Everything stopped.
Okay.
So they didn't want anybody to film what they were doing, what they're doing to our river up here. It's like unbelievable.
Captain William E. Simpson, we appreciate the take on it. You're always welcome back, and thank you, okay? Take care.
Thank you, Bill.
It's 8:37 at KMED KCMD. Wow, what a story, huh? This is the Bill Myers Show.
Rise and shine with the ultimate breakfast experience from Artisan Bakery Cafe. You'll be wowed once again with this limited-time veggie breakfast bagel sandwich, a fresh-baked toasted bagel layered with cream cheese, egg, cheddar cheese, onions, pepperoncini, and fresh tomato. A breakfast sensation sure to give your day a jump start. Wait, there's more. Bacon breakfast bagel sandwich also available for a limited time. Order online at DoorDash or visit 1325 Center Drive across from South Fred Meyer.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
One of each, Forte VIN 731586, MSRP 21710, 3500, due Sportage VIN 185367, MSRP 3590, 4499, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/24.
Making payments on a car you don't want to drive anymore? You need Kia Medford's Payment Wipeout. We're wiping out all the payments you have left on your old car so you can drive a new Kia, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS Automatic. Just $149 a month lease. Or a new 2024 Kia Sportage LX. Only $199 a month lease. Both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Get into a new Kia like Fortes, $149 a month. Sportages, $199 a month. During the payment wipeout at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is your Linex bedliner source. Linex is the number one rated spray-on bedliner in the world, backed with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Don't just protect it, Linex it. Oregon Truck and Auto Authority, your one-stop accessory and protection shop.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
Ron's in Grants Pass. Hey, Ron, you wanted to continue on this plan to... At least the plan. The voters haven't voted on this yet, and I would implore them to vote no on five county commissioners in the districts in Joe County. But you wanted to go further, do a far deeper dive. Go ahead.
Yeah, it looks to me, looking at the little map that's handed out there at the Republican Party headquarters across from the courthouse, is that the county is broken up into four sub-counties. In other words, they gerrymandered and changed the boundaries for the commissioners, independent four commissioners, and then the one that is an at-large commissioner, so that each commissioner then has their own county to answer to. They're not acting as a group. They're acting as an individual.
And that is my criticism of this five-county board type scheme from the Democrats. And the Democrats in Jackson County eventually want the same thing. They want, you know, they'll slide down the or slide under the door of the five-county commissioners. Of course, it'll cost less. It's another false claim, in my opinion. But still, did you hear my talk with Captain Bill Simpson when I asked him if they had five-county commissioners and if they had districts? Did you hear that? A few minutes ago?
Sure did.
Well,
yeah.
You heard the weakness. There is a reason I asked it, and he talked about how there were the county commissioners that cared about it because they lived where the destruction of the dam was, and their people are crying at them and everything else. And then you have the drone county commissioner coming from the Shasta district, which is still part of Siskiyou County, and he could give a crap less, right? Because he did, it's not my problem, that sort of thing. Well, when you have the three existing county commissioners elected at large, they all have to care about the entire county, not just their immediate backyard. See what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Yeah, look at the ineffectiveness the County Board of Supervisors in California has with their five district commissioners instead of county commissioners.
So now here's a little situation. You have the city council. Will now be fighting with the district commissioner for one of the four commissions about some one thing. So now you have an inter-area fight between the city and the county district that is formed around that city's one-quarter city section. Mm-hmm. And this could go on with all four of the new county sub-districts.
Boy, talk about gumming up the works here, Ron. Appreciate the call. Thanks for bringing up the point, okay? It's 8:42. I don't have a lot of time, but Chris, you wanted to weigh in on you've worked in energy generation, Pacific Power, and you want to talk about Colstrip? Is that what you were telling me about?
Colstrip, there's four units. Units 3 and 4 are running, and Units 1 and 2, the Sierra Club.
Where are these, by the way?
They're 90 miles east of Billings.
Are these coal-fired power plants?
In Rosebud County, and they're about 25 miles south. It's a small community. Basically, they all work at the...
Yeah, are they coal-fired power plants? Are they power
coal-fired,
plants?
Coal-fired, steam-generated.
Okay, traditional ones. We probably got a lot of power from them over the years sent out here.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, they're 750 megawatts, and they shut down the two that are roughly 250 megawatts each.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra Club browbeat them to shut them down. And this country really needs more steam-generating power plants. We can't get away from it. If we're not going to build nukes, we need steam generation. And if you've ever been out there and in the little town of Forsyth and seen the cars and cars full of coal, it's something to behold. And I worked out there. I worked in the heat transfer, putting in the tubing bundles, welding them up, and I've seen all that. But we just need more power plants. I mean, that grid, if you look at a documentary on it, goes all the way into Washington State. But Washington State's banned coal.
And Oregon has, too. Oregon has, too.
Avista has to disenfranchise their 15% of their holdings of and just give it free over to South Dakota.
Have you ever seen anything, Chris, like this, an actual intentional plan to deindustrialize, to actually make your grid less reliable and dependable? And this is something that you're telling people that they have to put even their transportation on the grid now is what they want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't. But I've just seen it. It's awesome. I've been a part of it three times. I've ridden the buses from Forsyth into Colstrip. It's like 30 miles.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there working all night and black from coal dust and doing coal piping and welding on 100% x-ray welds.
Well, I would imagine they can make, I do know that they can burn coal much more cheap, much more cleanly now than they once did, maybe back when you were working for it. So maybe you wouldn't have to be quite so black.
When they first do shut down, they do the coal piping. Mm-hmm. And they replace the coal piping.
Okay.
And then they get into other systems.
All right. Chris, I appreciate it. Out of time, but always a good hear from you, okay? It's 8:45. I'll grab another quick call here before news. I'm turning into a pumpkin. I could keep going for another hour, I think. But go ahead. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, sorry. Ron again.
Ron, I can't take two. I can't take two, Ron. I'm sorry. That's a policy here, okay? I'm sorry. News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. The Southern Oregon Historical Society is one step closer to opening a downtown event center, thanks to new funding from the Oregon Legislature. During the 2024 legislative session, the legislature awarded a $500,000 grant to SOHS to go toward development of a new event center. The event center would be created in the old JCPenney building near the Criterion. SOHS Executive Director Ron Kramer says this is a large step towards reaching their funding goal for the space. Kramer says with this funding, they are just a few hundred thousand dollars short of the nearly $1.2 million needed to create this center. And SOU was awarded funding for two of its top three priorities in the short legislative session. SOU will get $666,000 to build a master's degree for a social work program. It will also receive $6 million to complete an ongoing upgrade to the Central Hall building. The university says the funding will pay for phase four of the project. This includes interior design and finishing up the second floor, landscape renovations, a solar installation on the roof, charging stations, and much more. SOU says phase four of the project will kick off either this summer or fall. That's a look at your morning headlines. For NBC5 News, I'm Natalie Cerna, and have a great Wednesday.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Do you know that it is possible in a single day to replace a mouthful of bad teeth or ill-fitting dentures with a beautiful implant-supported smile? For so many of my patients, this has been a life-changing experience. Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson of Dental Excellence. I met a man in my office who came for a free consultation. He said to me, "Dr. Johnson, I quit going out to eat with my friends. I cover my mouth when I smile. I don't laugh out loud like I used to. I'm tired of all the denture adhesive and not tasting my food." Can you or someone you know relate to this man's story? I'm here to tell you that dental implants can solve your problems and give you a great reason to smile. Start now to regain your health and confidence. Come meet me and my amazing team. The consultation is free.
Call 541-779-6170 or visit MedfordDentalExcellence.com.
Dental Excellence, changing lives, one smile at a time.
March is Maintenance Madness Month at Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. We want to remind you to check your fluids at least once a month to help avoid costly repairs. When you come in for any service at Kelly's, we do a thorough inspection that includes pictures and videos of the good and not so good of your car that are texted and emailed directly to you. You then decide what to fix and how to plan for the future. Check us out at kellysautomotive.com. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle but take care of you.
The promise I made to my grandmother 20 years ago, to create a place that feels like home, with great food and caring people, and a really nice yard, continues today in Medford. The Springs Living was a dream that was created for my family, and we're still here today to make life just a little bit easier for yours.
The Springs at Anna Maria in Medford. Call 541-774-1822.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
It's 11 before 9, a little bit of open phone time. Not much if you want to make do with it or go with it. 770-5633, all right? 770-KMED. Congress, that meaning the House side of Congress, ended up passing the anti-TikTok bill. It's not an anti-TikTok bill. It's anti-Chinese ownership of TikTok. And the vote came down today, 352 to 65. One Congress critter did not vote. I don't know the specifics on it. I'm pretty much sure that Cliff Bantz likely voted for this. I could be wrong, but I will take a look at this. 352 to 65, all right? And sometimes, you know, you're always looking for some, oh, boy, we got bipartisanship. But, boy, this seems to be something that has really struck home. It's not about banning TikTok, although I think culturally we'd be better off without a TikTok. I think in many ways we'd be better without a lot of social media. But, you know, I'm not trying to be just a boomer saying, get off my lawn, you kids, you know, that sort of thing. But one of the challenges I think that we're going through as a culture is that we have these simulated interactions with people taking the place of real face-to-face interaction or even the human voice. This, you know, we sit there, we put hot takes on things and screaming at each other. And, you know, China uses TikTok to push arts and classical music and education. And, you know, we use TikTok in this country to essentially push the LGBTQ and all sorts of other things. It's, you know, hey, where would libs of TikTok be without the libs on TikTok? That kind of thing. But, you know, is this a good plan, though, to actually just get the CCP, Communist Chinese Party, out of that? Do you think that this is a proper use of federal power? Do you think it's a good thing to go here? Because I'll be honest that I'm always nervous when everybody's in on the same thing. When both the Democrats are saying, yep, we need to do this. And I'm thinking that maybe what TikTok did last week when there was first this talk about the divestiture of the Chinese Communist Party out of TikTok ownership. It's ByteDance, by the way, is the company that's involved there. I always thought that what they did is that they ended up pushing a notification to all the TikTok users. I don't use TikTok. I won't use it, but that's just me. Other people do. I know. Maybe you do. But it pushed a notification to everybody with your Congress critter and how to call your Congress critter and have them fight this bill. And so they flooded Congress with all of this, you know, you have kids crying, I'm going to commit suicide if I don't have TikTok, you know, that kind of thing. And so it had the opposite effect. It actually galvanized the opposition to the ownership of Chinese Communist Party and TikTok. But yet at the same time, when they're all on the same page, I sometimes get a little nervous. Could there be a downside to this one? I'm not completely in there with Rand Paul, but I see the problem with Communist Chinese Party ownership of an app in which most of the kids get their news from, you know, get their news from and get their LGBTQ agenda force-fed to them. I could be wrong, but I'd love to take your call on that, okay? 770-563-3770-KMED. Talk about that. Anything else on your mind, too? Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. It's Larry from Grants Pass.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call and once again tell you thank you for the job well done. You do a good job entertaining, talking to Wild Bill and
Oh, thank you.
And so forth. Yes, just a big, big thank you.
Oh, thank you. You're very welcome. Very kind. You have something you want to weigh in on, though, while you're at it, Larry?
Oh, too many things, too short a time.
Okay. Well, could you take anything at all? Anything at all?
I just want to tell you, I appreciate the job you do. You do a good job getting it out there.
All right. Well, I'll try not to let my head get too big, but thank you, Larry. All right. Appreciate that. Won't fit my headphones, right? Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. David in Phoenix.
Hi, David.
Thanks for being there.
Thank you.
Yeah, curiosity. The very thing we're complaining about the Chinese government doing with TikTok, if we take it away from them and have it here, how do we know that our government won't do the same thing? It's just a curiosity.
Oh, no. Hey, listen, that's what I meant, in which I'm always nervous when the Republicans and the Democrats are both on the same page when it comes to, taking over of a social media channel, because you're right about that. Would I rather have U.S. government propaganda arms in charge of TikTok or Chinese government propaganda arms in charge of TikTok? I guess those are that's the choice, right? Isn't that the choice, David, essentially we're being handed right now?
And also, instead of China listening in on everything we do and wondering what we're up to, our own government spying on us.
Mm-hmm.
Be a conspiracy theorist, but, it looks a little hinky to me.
Okay. Point well taken. Appreciate the call, David. 770-563-3, 770-KMED. Another number I want you to write down is 261-5444. 261-5444. I was talking with Eric Peters this morning about the cost of automobile insurance, and I was wondering about it. Boy, these companies just totaling stuff out. Remember that story with my sister-in-law with her slight accident there? You need a friend in the automobile insurance and just the insurance industry in general. And 261-5444 is the number for Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Good guy, independent agency. Lynn Barton's now with him, too, helping out on the Medicare insurance plan programs and helping people navigate that, too. But what you want to do is go to the independent. He doesn't work with just one company, tries to find the best coverage for you at the best cost. And people have told me, hey, he's told me that I already had a good deal. And that's great to know. It's just honest people helping you out and providing KMED, KCMD listeners with some great service. Call him at 261-5444, skyparkins.com. Steve Yancey.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
Well, Dad, this is not a shocker, so you don't have to sit down for this one.
Hit me.
Father and Son Jewelry has won Best in Southern Oregon.
How many years in a row has it been?
15? I've sort of lost count.
Well, don't let it go to your head. We built our reputation on what we do today, not yesterday.
I agree. Becca, you look like you have something to say.
Just want to say thank you, Southern Oregon, for voting your Father and Son Jewelry Best again. We've been your favorite since I can remember.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
And we have Bill in Jacksonville. Good morning, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I was just commenting about you talking about 8-track tapes. I still have an 8-track tape player, and I have a great big box of 8-tracks, and I get them out every once in a while and listen to them.
Do they still work?
They still work.
No kidding. No, the reason I was asking that is that I remember reading the story. There's a blog online about the story of the 8-track tape, and they go through the history, how it was first a 4-track, and then it turned into an 8-track. They did that, and it was based on the broadcast cartridges, like we had mentioned before. And they had only designed the 8-track tapes, rather, to last about 4 or 5 years. That was the designed life, the shelf life of them. That's great.
Yeah, they're still working. They work great.
Yeah, don't put them in
rock and grow, and they'll get them out every once in a while, drag them out, and play them.
Yeah, what's your favorite 8-track? I'm kind of curious your favorite music on it.
Oh, I think it was Iron Man or something like that was on it, or something like that.
Oh, a Black Sabbath 8-track tape. You know, you have to put, you have to wear the mullet though when you have that on. Okay, right?
Oh yeah.
You got right. Thanks, Bill. I got to put the mullet on, and of course, drink yourself silly, and then you plug in the Black Sabbath 8-track. All right. Hey, we'll talk more on Conspiracy Theory Thursday, Bill at BillMeyerShow.com.